Hey, second full day of Chico Safe Space at the Peace and Justice Center in December 2013. We're going to lead in after this little short introduction to giving you some more insights on Safe Space. We have Jesse Kearns, a pastor from the church that's currently hosting Chico Safe Space. And we have Bob Trouse that's coming in the studio. And I have a statement that I'm going to be reading. And it's all geared towards one particular inflammatory, deflammatory post that attacked Safe Space directly. As a community, we have to talk about tough issues, and I'm saying we need to put an end to this. I think if Chico Community Watch wants to be considered a good community partner, they need to start managing their Facebook group, because the reality is, when you are dealing with marginalized communities, a lot of times you feel like you can say whatever you want and do whatever you want because you're not going to pay any consequence. I'd like to have seen what would have happened to this gentleman that had posted this and the actual admin of this group if maybe they had attacked a group such as Chico PD, Chico Fire, maybe Chico State University. Things would have played out a lot different. So for maybe the eighth grade class that might be listening, this is typical behavior that's directed toward marginalized community. People feel free to disparage groups that are helping folks that are experiencing poverty. And a lot of these folks have no qualms in going after people experiencing homelessness with dehumanizing and stereotypical language that tries to paint all of these folks as subhumans that are not part of our community. Well, I'm here to say they are. I guess that's my statement. And coming up after Safe Space, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful little segment that we put together with Chico Country Day on their eighth grade project around homelessness. So with no further ado, welcome to the Without a Roof radio program. All right, it's Guillermo Mash here for the February 14th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. And I have Pastor Jesse Kearns joining us via phone from his office at First Christian Church on East Washington Ave in Chico, which is the current location for Chico Housing Action Team's Rotating Emergency Winter Shelter Program. Thanks for taking time out to call into the Without a Roof radio program, Pastor Jesse.
Not a problem. Good to be on the show.
And before I turn the mics on, you were talking about the wonderful smells of the cooking, the Lisa Couriers. Why don't you give us a little sight and smell from what's going on there for tonight's emergency shelter?
Good. Oh, my word, it was so good. You know, last night she cooked a bunch of turkeys, and we had a Thanksgiving dinner last night. And so she took the two remaining turkeys that we had left over, which, you know, she budgeted for, and she's making turkey enchiladas tonight, and they smell so good.
That's wonderful. You might have to stop by and give Lisa a hug on my way
home.
So, Pastor Jesse, you've been doing this for like several years. It's two or three years your church has been involved in this, correct?
This is the third year we've done this,
third
correct?
Year. Thank blessings to you for that. What would you like to share with our listeners regarding your congregation's response to hosting this winter shelter the past 3 years?
Well, I'm going to tell you, at first it was kind of tough. There's a lot of folks who sometimes don't see the church as the tool that it is. Some people see a church like a shrine, and other people understand the church to be a tool. And so once I explained to them, you know, when you use tools in your workshop, they don't stay pristine all the time. Sometimes they get a little wear and tear on them, but that's what you use them for. That's what they're there for. And I think when people finally got that in their minds, they understood, oh, this is a good thing to do. And so even though it was kind of a rocky start at first to convince some people, once we started doing it, it was fantastic. The Safe Space folks are so on top of it,
yeah,
and every
amazing.
Year they've improved. Every year mm-hmm. it's gotten better.
What does some of the congregation say about the program 3 years in, Pastor Jesse?
Oh, they acknowledge that things are much smoother. They are very impressed with the volunteers. They're quite impressed with what Safe Space brings with them. The first year we did it, we just about blew our entire janitorial supply for the quarter in just 2 weeks. And Chat was really good about making sure Safe Space had some toilet paper and some soap and things like that for us. We've had volunteers in the church cooking meals and serving water and just hanging out and getting to know folks. So, yeah, it's much better.
I've got to just say, some of the most amazing people I've met are these core group of folks that do Safe Space. I mean, it's amazing how many hours they put in. But it takes a lot of people to do this. And just like last year, Safe Space is considering closing down early due to a lack of volunteers. What's your thoughts on this, Pastor Jesse?
That's sad. And I know working with the church, I'm working with the volunteer army too. And it's real easy for people to get burned out, to experience some compassion fatigue and such. But, you know, this year I've seen more children in this shelter than I've ever seen. Last year I think we had maybe an 8 or 9 year old boy come in with his dad for a couple of nights. But this year we have seen 5 children. We're talking a baby and some kindergarten age children and grade school age children.
Wow.
That really tore me up when I saw that. And so I would encourage anybody who is listening, they've got things set up so well that volunteering, it's not that hard. They've got a system going. It's just a matter of greeting people, making sure things run smoothly, and just kind of sitting and being with the folks. I mean, especially during night shifts, that's when they have the hardest time finding volunteers. And honestly, we've had college students there doing homework, and it's great. So I encourage anybody, if you've got some homework or anything like that you need to get done, this is a great place to do it.
Listeners just joining, we have Pastor Jesse Kearns on the phone. He's a pastor of First Christian Church, the current location for the emergency winter shelter called Safe Space. And any closing comments, Jesse, for our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to encourage people to be mindful of these folks who put in all these volunteer hours. They are making some really big sacrifices to do some really important work here in the community. And I'm always encouraging people to step out of your comfort zone. Some people think, get an idea in their minds of what it means to volunteer and people and to help people who don't have a roof. Let me tell you, when you get to know folks and when you get to meet and greet and talk with the folks who are the guests of these shelters, it's a game changer. And so I would encourage you to get out there and volunteer.
And all God's people said amen, hey?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Jesse, thanks for all that you do and over there at the church and being such a vital contributor to our public affairs here on KZFR.
Thank you.
All right, live in the studio, we have Bob Trausch. Bob Trausch is a founding member of Chico Housing Action Team and a current board member. Welcome to KZFR.
Thank you.
Robert Trausch. You know, I had done a little statement at the front end of the show about this incident where someone had gone after Chico's, Chico Safe Space regarding one of the facilities in a very defamatory way. And as I understand it, some other local broadcast networks, radio and TV, had reached out for interviews around this. You know, I'd like to just get a few minutes or a minute around, you know, how much pain and suffering and agony that this caused for the Safe Space organization having to deal with this.
Well, I can't respond to all of it because I haven't been involved. I was away out of country for a while. But always it does. Because the people we work with, if whoever has been volunteering with Safe Space understands the people we work with and the trauma and the loss of faith and loss of hope that they have, and the dealing with just living on the streets and what that does to you. You see someone that's 40 or 50 years old and they look 70 or 80 years old because they're living in the streets and it's so difficult. So when people attack what we're trying to do, are there problems? There's always going to be some problems with any situation. There's problems in every household in this community. People always have problems. And what we're asking for is understanding and help to make sure that the people on the street have a safe place to go and have as much hope as they can and redevelop faith in the community to know that we care enough about them to try and get them housed, even if it's just for the night through the winter time and fed through the night through the winter time. So for me, it hurts so much when someone attacks what we're doing, and whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, I didn't see it as a legitimate attack.
I didn't either.
It was someone who has issues with homeless, and I had someone today in one of our meetings. I was someplace, and someone was talking about homeless, and I see them in their vehicles and these people, and without any understanding, if only we could have everybody in this community spend a week on the street, they would understand what it's like, or have a part-time job because there's nothing else out there available for you that doesn't give you enough money to actually get inside to take care of yourself, and then see how people would respond to what Chad is doing and how much we're helping these people, even just through the winter, and how much we're trying to help them with housing besides that, for permanent full-time housing, to give people hope and redevelop faith in what's happening in our community. So it hurts when someone arbitrarily, it seems, attack. Are there legitimate issues every night that occur at Safe Space? I'm sure there are, because there's a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of failure, and we try and work with those people and again, uplift them and give them a safe space to be for the night. And rather than attack what Safe Space is doing, come out and help what Safe Space is doing, because it's our job as a community to help those who are less than us.
Yeah, you know, and I was actually at Safe Space doing I was there during the people coming in on Sunday night, and I was there Monday night to do the cleanup, but it was obviously journalism taking notes, but there was one lady I'd never met. She was at the table, Bob, getting some medication, but she just had this look of just, you know, just how can I deal with this? But she was talking to one of the ops managers, talking about how she was living on $268 a month and she's 65. I know a guy named John who literally is my dad's age. God bless my dad. He passed on. He's 78 years old, living out there homeless. And probably the toughest thing for me is it's someone that I had reached out to, one of the nurses that retired here in Chico, when I did Youth for Justice, but she was someone that had her baby taken away because she was poor. That's what this nurse said. This never would have happened to her unless she was poor. It really was upsetting, and I had to sit with her. But she came back to Chico to try to escape a situation in Arcata. CPS has taken her kids. So now she's at Safe Space, you know, trying to keep that hope and care going, I'm going to be seeing my kids tomorrow. But for people to think that, you know, all of these crazy stereotypes, just the people you see at Safe Space, it's just heart-wrenching how many disabled folks, elderly folks, young kids, babies. So babies, I had seen, it's crazy. It's crazy. I saw a 9-month-old baby. The oldest person I saw that I know was John Shaw at 78. So the only thing I'll say, and I'll turn it back over to you, is when you, I've been to a lot of the different safe space activities, but the one that was so precious to me was out at, gosh,
PB. It
was, I can't remember the church. I've done 4 or 5. But anyway, this would have been the typical stereotypical person. You know, he looked like he was a user and he was kind of angry and you really had to kind of deal with him a certain way. But the church had actually had the kids do poems. And it was late at night and he was walking around and he came up and looked at one of those poems and he started to cry. And he said, he put the thing to his heart, Bob, and said, I don't even deserve this. You know, and anyway,
that's absolutely part of the story. And that's why we have people that come and play music every evening, because we want people to feel valued. And they've lost so many times, they've lost value in themselves. And one of the things that is exciting to me about Safe Space is when we started 5 years ago, we just had mostly senior men. As people realized how safe space was, we had more and more women. Then we had women with children and couples with children because they have no place to go. And so someone coming to spend the night at Safe Space or a few hours at Safe Space will see an amazing range of ages and people that come there because they have no other place to go. And when you start hearing those stories, and as you know, I brought a lot of the people that we've housed and some from the streets to talk about their stories. And their stories are, they make you cry. They make you cry because there's so many reasons that someone's on the street. And many times those people end up using drugs and or alcohol because of being on the street, because it's such a horrible life and they can't get out of that cycle because we don't have the services for them to get out of that cycle. And that's what we at STAT are trying to do, is find a way to get people rehoused and get the services they need to become reintegrated into society, maybe get a job, whatever it is, raising them to the highest level that they can get by way of chat working with them, whether it's Social Security, whether it's SDI, whether it's SSI, whether it's getting a job, whether it's getting their kids back, whatever it happens to be, we try and work with them. And that's the whole idea of Safe Space as well, is to work with people and make them feel good. We have celebrations for Christmas. We have, you know, all those things. Amazing. That we do is to have people feel that we value them again, because as a story you're telling, he lost value in himself. He lost that he didn't deserve. And we have to let them feel that they do deserve, and we're there to try and help them.
And it was interesting. I know I saw one of the ops, saw and observed Lauren. And big shout out for Lauren, kind of helping to educate one of the new people at the Safe Space overnight. But she's like, you know, a lot of times they'll challenge you. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most fascinating things. They may yell, they may scream, they may, but they're really wanting to see what your response is. Because that same guy that I talked about, I'd seen him, I was doing every Monday night for like 5 weeks. I would see him. And once he kind of got to know who I was and that I would accept him for who he was, his behavior changed towards me.
We've seen that
over and over again.
A week later, you see them getting up in the morning and say, hey, where's the room? Can I help clean? Can I help get stuff done? That's exactly what happens. When you honor them and you meet them on an equal basis, not an unhoused person and I'm a housed person, but on an equal basis, it changes everything. It changes everything. And that's our job in this community.
So going back to this Chico Community Watch, and they have a history. I had the admin on the group with Natalie Carter about 3 months ago, but I told people I'm not a Geraldo Rivera, man. I want to build some bridges, you know, and I think we're at the point, you know, I want to give some free consulting maybe to Beck or the city of Chico or maybe even Chico Community Watch around Facebook pages. I have a big presence, Facebook groups and pages, and literally, if you are not screening your post to a policy, then you are not someone that groups should be partnering with. So I have actually written policy and procedures, Bob. So I'd like to help the city of Chico and Beck to give some questions for groups like Chico Community Watch. Does this group screen their posts? And what is the group's policy for the post that they post? And is it consistent with my message? And I am angry. I told you this, Bob, to try to put some humor on this. I'm hoping the rest of my year I'm not as angry as what this Facebook group allowed on their website. So I am here to tell you, Bob, and I'm going like this. If this group doesn't straighten up, I don't care if I have to go to the mayor. These people are going to stop physically attacking people. I put like the Macaulay Culkin in the city parks. I'm going, oh, it's so difficult. I'm looking at a post, I'm screening it, they're attacking somebody and calling them names. Maybe I shouldn't post that. Oh, I'm looking at a post that's attacking another nonprofit. Maybe I shouldn't post that, but I'm gonna get more stronger. If you can't do that, Chico Community Watch, you are not a partner for Without a Roof, you're not a partner for Safe Space, and you shouldn't be a partner for Chico City Parks, period.
I totally agree, and it's so much easier to attack, especially without knowledge, than it is to do something positive. And again, I would suggest that anyone who has an issue with the homeless or has an issue with Chad or a Safe Space, spend one night helping Safe Space, and it'll change everything. Every single person that comes there, that's the story we get, is it changes their lives because they get to meet people on a personal basis, and it changes them because they understand these are human beings that, for whatever reasons, have had something happen in their life that has put them on a street, and we can help them get off that street.
So I want to make sure, because this is a broadcast journalism show, I did reach out to the person that made this post, and I said, Gamma Mask, KZFR, Without a Roof program. With the passage of time, it's been a couple of weeks, is there a traction apology that you'd like to submit to be read on air regarding your allegations and accusations made against Safe Space in the Chico Community Watch group? Quick answer, no. One thing, I'm going to reach out. I sent this to the admin. My goal is to have you or a CCW delegate on the show to focus on what your group is doing going forward to ensure that inflammatory and defamatory posts are blocked from your Facebook group. If that isn't acceptable, perhaps you can explain why to our listening audience. And I have to actually take a breath because I did put my cell phone. So possibly he responded to me. He didn't do it through Facebook. You know, maybe he responded to me. So I'll check my voicemail when I go home. Zero. Didn't hear anything back from the admin of that group. So anyway, I'd like to close on a high note. It looks like we've got all the spots filled. Safe Space, rest of the year.
We do. We finally filled them all up. We're going back to Trinity this week, which is great. They've given us 2 weeks this year. And we'll make it through the month of February, which is awesome. And hopefully a change the weather will help. And again, I just wish people would, those who haven't, would step up and volunteer for this last 3 weeks of Safe Space. It's a life-changing experience, and you will feel better about yourself. You'll have a better understanding of what's happening on the streets and what's happening to these people and hear their stories. And please come out and help.
ChicoHousingActionTeam.org. And one big shout out for you, because I know you're going to be next segments about Country Day, their project on poverty. And I know Chico Housing Action Team is going to be there, and they do a shout out for you, Bob, during the middle of the interview. That'll be a lot of fun. They're nice kids, eighth graders. So anyway, thanks for listening to People Powered Radio. And always, as always, Bob Joss, nice to have you in the studio.
Thanks. Thanks to KZFR, too.
All right, Gamble Mash here for the Valentine's Day, the Valentine's edition of the Without a Roof Radio program, with a follow-up interview with Chico Country Day and their 8th grade school project. And as advertised and as promised, we have a couple of their students in the studio. We have Malia and Riley. So Malia, welcome to KZFR.
Thank you.
You ever been on radio before?
No.
Well, it's your first time. My first time was only 3 years ago. So by the time you're a junior in high school, you'll be just as well-versed as me.
Yeah.
Possibly. And we also have one of your classmates, Riley. Welcome to KZFR, Riley.
Hello.
All righty. Which one of you ladies would like to kind of tell us a little bit about your excitement and what's going on with your project around homelessness at Chico Country Day School, 8th grade class project?
For 8th grade, we are studying homelessness and different types of topics on homelessness. And we want to figure out a way to try and find and help that type of situation. So what we're doing is we're researching, we're going to find our outline, and we're going to start to dig in on some of the things that we have in Chico or also in the United States.
Nice. And how far along are you with this project?
We're kind of like in the beginning, but we're like beginning? Maybe like a quarter through.
About a quarter of the way through? All right. And what's your subject matter? I understand there's a certain thing that you yourself are focusing on, correct?
Yes. I'm doing young homeless women. As a woman, I think this is a good topic to research because I know many of the struggles that they can go through.
Thank you so much for that. It's a wonderful thing. And Riley, what about you? What you doing on this project?
I'm doing LGBTQIA homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can relate to that a lot.
You ever heard of the 40 to 0 campaign?
No, I actually haven't.
I think it's 8% of the population is LGBTQ+, but in the homeless population, it's 40. There's so many youth that are cast out, so to speak. And I think that's a wonderful thing to be focusing on. You working with Stonewall Lion Center? Or?
No, I've been researching them, though.
Yeah? That's someone else we could connect you with. I've had them on the show several times. Are you familiar with Stonewall Alliance Center here in Chico?
No, I'm not. The real only homeless shelter I'm familiar with is the Tories.
All right. Well, Stonewall actually is the LGBTQ advocacy group here in Chico. And they're the ones that do the gay pride weekends and stuff around Chico. So, we can make sure you get connected with those folks because they have actually people that are working the same thing. So I'm sure they'll be glad that you've joined them. So I'm going to turn the mic over real quick to Mary Jean, and she's going to give us a little insight, maybe some prompt questions.
Hi. So one thing that we've been noticing and finding in doing this project in the beginning stages is how valuable researching this population has been for our students. It's opened their eyes, I think, on understanding what a complex issue this is. So I just want to ask them, Malia and Riley, what is something that you've learned that maybe was surprising to you or has opened your eyes to something with the topic that you're studying?
I think something that has opened my eyes that I've been researching was that a lot, like 80% of the women who end up homeless end up running away because they're in a situation where it involves sexual abuse or violence, or they may have gone through pregnancies or LGBTQ like Riley's involved in, and just things like that open my eyes because I can see someone who's so happy one moment and they think of, we don't even know what they're going through at home, so they could easily just become homeless.
And Riley?
I'd have to say for me, since I've had a lot of friends who are LGBTQ, like gender fluid and trans, and one of the things that shocked me was that people who are LGBTQ and trans that have unsupportive family or unaccepting are more likely to go into drug abuse and be chronically homeless at a young age.
This is Thomas Barbera, but one of the things that we talked about too was the fluidity of homelessness. Can you, either of you, remember about what we talked about as far as how homelessness isn't always a situation where somebody's always going to be homeless, where they might actually fall in and out of homelessness? Did your research suggest anything along those lines?
Mine did, seeing as a lot of the research I found indicated that LGBTQ people try to find housing but are barred from it, and then the housing that they do find usually has higher rent and mortgage to pay.
I also did see this in my article. I saw that some girls who do end up pregnant and running away and becoming homeless try to find jobs to support their babies, and they end up not getting the job because of the way they look or the way they act, and they end up back on the street. But sometimes they get up and they support themselves.
So one thing, too, we were hoping to find in our research and just through this whole process is different possible solutions. So are there any articles that you've read or anything that you've found that point at possible ways to help or solutions that we could help facilitate here in Chico?
When we did a group talk at a table, we found an article about I think it was like a village, and young ladies had to use cloth to help with their lady problems. And so we were thinking for the homeless people, lady products and feminine products should be free, as in such of people who are homeless.
I found a website, the True Colors Fund, that talked about taking LGBTQ teens and putting them in positions of responsibility, like being a youth counselor or having little projects to be in charge of, to kind of hike that up.
So what's your plans for, you know, there's different terms for it, but I like the term lived experience, actually doing some research and talking to folks experiencing homelessness and poverty. What do you get, have you girls gotten to that point in the research part?
No, not quite.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the plans from the faculty? Do you have plans to, you know, have some interviews students with people experiencing homelessness?
Yeah, we're working with a couple of different connections. We have chat coming, thanks to a connection through Bill, so thank you for that. They're going to be coming to our school and talking about their hopes for Simplicity Village. We are also working on connections with the Toyer Shelter and 6th Street Youth Center and Safe Space.
Nice, and through those organizations, they're going to connect you directly to have folks that are experiencing or past experience of homelessness? Is that your understanding?
Yeah, we're also having representatives from each of those places come in and talk to the students. So February 22nd, I believe we're having a representative from CHAT come in and not only talk about what their organization does, but also give myself and Mr. Eubanks, who's in the booth, some of the specifications that we need as far as what we need to do to create a tiny house that can be donated from our students at Chico Country Day School.
Nice. You know, one thing, I'm not trying to come up with the extra credit for the class, but last week it was very interesting. I had a very awesome conversation with Chico State University, who's doing some research around this issue as well. We had two professors, a student, and then an advocate, nationally recognized advocate out of San Francisco. And we talked a little bit about how important it is from a research-based project to talk to folks experiencing homelessness. So that might be a neat little interview for the students to hear. That was last week. It was a 20-minute interview. What I think is really cool, kind of teeing this up for next week, and teeing this up for right now, listeners just joining, we are in the studio with the faculty at Chico Country Day who have an 8th-grade project, a really cool 8th-grade project centered around homelessness. And we have two of the students here, Malia and Riley, and we're really happy to have them in the studio. And I was kind of given an idea of reaching out to some local experts and helping to schedule some interviews. And the project that you're doing, Malia, is so necessary, as well as yours, Riley. Absolutely. But I just know a gentleman I've met on the radio a few times called Mel Tillicarapna, and he's got this whole campaign called hashtag she does. And it's all really humanizes. It shows pictures of women experiencing homelessness and going, doesn't she deserve a home? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think around that? And are you excited to interview and speak with this gentleman?
I'm definitely excited to get some other research from actually not just off of a computer, but for someone to sit in front of them and to know someone who's helping other people and just to see, get off of him, what I can do and how I can help.
Yeah, I'll be really happy to facilitate that because he's an amazing, amazing human being. So we're about at the end of our time. Any closing comments?
I just want this project to open up not just our eyes, but other people's eyes. I want them to see that homeless people are still normal people, no matter what they went through to get to that place. I just want us to be there to help them and also to just be those people who make a change.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, faculty of Chico Country Day School, and for these two students that are working so diligently with the rest of the class at Chico Country Day. Thanks for joining us here on People Power Radio. The Without a Roof Radio program made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Skywatch, offering an informational film about geoengineering and aerosol climate spraying on the fourth Thursday of every month at no charge. Chico Skywatch also sends local water samples to a state-certified lab for heavy metal testing. More information at chicoskywatch.org and at the weekly Saturday Farmers Market. Alrighty, that about concludes the Without a Roof Radio program for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's, everybody. Want to learn more about Without a Roof? Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. Next up, Non-Human Radio. And if you enjoyed this program, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show. Hello. Always remember, have a roof, be grateful. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Fazzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.